I'm gonna sail away. It's by his works, not by my works. I'm in this church.
One more time, amen.
I'm in this church. This glorious church. I was joined where I was born. I have a new birth some glorious day. I'm gonna sail away. I'll sail away. It's by his grace, not by my work. I'm in this church.
Amen, amen. I want to take a little bit of time and go through this slideshow that they prepared for us of the trip. We had an amazing time. As you guys can see some of the slides there as we're going through it. You know, yeah, we'll flip the light off again so you guys can see it. And I think they broadcast this on online. They can see the what's going on. That right, Brother Praveen? They can see that. Thank you. So the people online can take part of the trip and see that. We had a phenomenal time. You know, obviously, we all that was there, know the itinerary. We got up really early and got back really late. That was the beginning and the end of it. But there was a lot of stuff that happened in the middle, you know, that was amazing. You know, we had from the Brinkmans giving us first-class service. They were going through the aisles, handing out food, getting drinks. And that's first class. I mean, I've flown on a plane, and they don't do that unless you're in first class. So they were giving out orders. We had the text message thing. You could put the orders through, and even when it got late, it was, you know, still send your orders in. So they took great care of us. And we get there. We went through the trip, and when we got there, Pastor Moore preached the message, "You Must Be Born Again." My goodness. Amen. It just was God in simplicity, and he just broke it down so simple that, you know, no matter all the theologians, all the knowledge you get, you got to be born again. That's us taking a picture outside the church. It was beautiful there. And then one of the things we really picked up from there, and I heard through the testimonies on Wednesday that, you know, a lot of people said, you know, what changed, and they, you know, they saw some changes. And then just to kind of quantify that, there was a lot of things that, you know, we want to just do better. You know, you can see that you can give God your all. Brother Jerry Allen once said, he said, you know, if you can play an instrument, do it all you can for the Lord, you know, and that was nothing more evident than when we were there. You know, if you played a horn, played it with all your heart to the Lord. If you know, I was telling the brothers and sisters the other day, I said, you know, when we practice, so many years we've been reserved or conservative that you know, you can't give it your all, but give it your all, and it turns into a beautiful thing. And so we were able to see the beautiful ministry there. They sang, you know, just wonderful. Pastor Moore had already prepped us for that, but we still weren't prepared. You know, it was just, we weren't, I mean, that brother sang Leaning, Learning to Lean, and I had never heard it in that version. And, you know, so it was amazing. And then you kind of joke a little bit more. That's us out Friday in front of the bus there on Sunday morning. But we sang Let the Worshipers Arise, and they put a spin on that, and it was beautiful. If you weren't there, they sped it up, had the bass going, had the drums going, and it never sounded so good. So it was we had a good time there. But it just you know, it was beautiful to see that, you know, the message is diverse. You know, as I was coming up as a young person, you know, you thought, oh, maybe the message is only there was a misnomer that it was only for the whites, and then there was a misnomer that it was only for this, and it was only for that. But you go out there and you see God does have a many member body, and it was many different colors represented, many different ethnicities represented, and you know. So our church is a true testament of that. Of, you know, even the brother said it the other day, that we're just a, you know, a melting pot, you know, and which you should look that way. You know, if you lean too much on one side, you have too many old people, too many young people, too many women, too many men. There's not balance. It just can't be. You know, and that's what makes a balance, is by having those things. So it was great to go there. God bless Brother John. I'm glad he was able to make it. And we had our shirts that you know, showed, you know, who we were identified with, and it was really nice that the church took care of us like that. And we just had a great time at the trip. I mean, there were so many things there that went on, and, you know, that water in, water out, you know, and I appreciate what the church just did to make it possible, because it was such a relaxing atmosphere. You know what I mean? I told my wife, I said, I had never been this relaxed on a trip in my life. I kind of saw what she feels when, you know, somebody's getting the trip prepared. You know, somebody prepares the flights, prepares the meals, and you just get there and rest. You know, I kind of thought, that's how my kids must feel when we go on vacation. They just get in the car and rest. And, you know, as a little bit older and mature person, I can appreciate the fact that you could just rest. If you wanted to lay down, you could lay down. And then there was a time when we were actually on the charter bus, and we started singing some songs and having a good old time. And we found out, oh, Brother Lockett can sing. So, yeah, he started singing, leading songs, and we were getting excited. Yeah. We were like, okay, you know, so we're going to step this up. You know, it's amazing to have that. So this morning, we want to start off with singing a song that with Brother Lockett. It's,
yeah.
Lord, I Need You Now. We're going to sing that. Come on up, Brother Lockett. We'll sing that. Thank you again, Fairborn Community Tabernacle, for sending us on that trip.
Amen.
So. So come on up, Brother Lockett.
Yeah, you got it, Brother Lockett.
It's Amen. All you.
You got it.
Yeah, you can sing you from there,
it.
Brother.
You got it.
Hey. It should be for. We'll help you, Brother Lockett.
Yeah.
Boy, you must be feeling pretty good. I didn't hope. Did you feel that way when I finished?
Amen.
Amen. We'll help
you. Amen.
Well, that's good. You support.
All right. That's so fun. Okay. You got it, Brother Luckett.
Lord, I need you now. More than I ever had before.
Everybody sing.
Lord, I need you today. Before I walk out the door, I don't want to leave this place the same. Before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Everybody sing it together now. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Now, hallelujah. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. Same way I came before I leave, Lord, I need a change before I leave. Hallelujah. Oh, before I leave, Lord, I need a change. Let's sing that again. Lord, I need you now. Before I leave.
need a change before I leave.
Hallelujah.
Oh, before I leave, Lord, I need a change.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Lockett. We got one more song that we learned there.
Yeah.
We're going to sing that. God of my presence. Come on up, Brother Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank God. Been thinking this all week. And these two songs we sung this morning reminded me of what I've been thinking.
Amen.
This church, this glorious church.
Amen.
I am a blessed man.
Right.
Amen.
To be walking in them doors back there. To come to a place where I can worship in spirit and truth.
Amen, brother.
With the full word of God.
Amen.
The full word. Every bit of it.
That's amen.
Right. And I'm blessed beyond.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed.
Amen.
Amen. I remember something that Brother Childers said.
Amen.
He said,
what'd he say?
That we have the best, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Right. We've got the best.
That's right.
Right.
We've got the best ministry.
Amen.
We've got the best deacons.
Trustees. Amen.
The best laity, musicians, song leaders. We've got the best here.
Yes.
Amen.
I believe that with all that's in me.
Amen.
Yes.
And I believed it ever since he said it.
Amen.
Right.
And I'm just blessed beyond.
Amen.
And another thing, you know,
amen,
that I've been thinking about is my ex-wife, the mother of my children. It's a possibility that she may have cancer.
Oh, my.
And it... I need her.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's my ex-wife, but yeah. I still need her.
Amen.
I need her for my kids.
Right.
And I need her for my grandkids.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
She has a scan of some sort tomorrow. If y'all could pray for her,
yes,
I would appreciate it.
Oh, my.
Amen.
God has watched over me since I was born.
Amen.
Right.
And he ain't going to stop me.
No, not at all.
That's the way I see it.
Amen.
I'm blessed beyond. And I appreciate y'all. Love y'all.
Amen,
and I'm
God bless you, Brother Amen. Chris. We're Amen. Gonna be praying. Amen.
Amen.
It's the key of E. God of my present.
Amen.
God of my present. God of my future. You write my story. You hold it all together, God of my presence, God of my future. You write my story, you hold it all together. So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
So I believe, hallelujah.
So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
You are the Alpha.
You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. So I believe that I will see the goodness
goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
God of my presence, hallelujah.
God of my presence,
God of my future.
God of my future.
You write my story.
You write my story.
You hold it.
You hold it all together. God of my presence. God of my future. You write my story. You hold it all.
God of my present, no music.
God of my presence. God of my future. You write my story. You hold it all together.
God of my present.
God of my presence. God of my future. You write my story. You hold it
so I believe
together. So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord.
And I'm confident, hallelujah.
And I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness.
You are the Alpha.
You are the Alpha and you're Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha.
So I believe that I will see
the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness remains.
One last time, hallelujah.
So I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord, and I'm confident that as seasons change, your faithfulness.
Amen. Come on up, Brother Mike.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. Just wanted to see how grateful I am. Yesterday was me enjoying my 28-year anniversary.
Amen.
And I'm real proud of that.
Amen.
I remember asking Brother Childers about marrying her before ever did. I learned that lesson. I listened. And through every hardship, all I had to do is say, nope, God, you said right there.
Right.
So I know this is the path you want. No matter what happens, this is the path God intended for me to go. And it put such a rest in me.
Amen.
When I was able to just stop and listen to the Lord and follow his instructions. And here we are 28 years later, and I'm very happy.
Right.
And I'm thankful, and I wanted to let the whole world know that 28 years, she's been Mrs. Prater longer than she was Obeso. Now,
amen.
So, but I'm just real grateful to the Lord for giving me that word that I can hang on to.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Take care.
Amen.
I try to hold myself together. You know, that song really touched me because I was thinking.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I wasn't able to go on the trip because, you know, my doctor said with my pregnancy I was too high risk, and, you know, I can't even be at work right now. But I was thinking that, you know, despite all the statistics and all, you know, the news that you get every week with your ultrasounds, and they're like, you're not out of the woods yet. I haven't been, like, you know, I get scared for a second, but then I don't. And I'm just so thankful for this word and this rest, and that I can say I'm confident.
Right.
And that I know that I will see the goodness. And another thing, too, that I just want to give, you know, a little testimony about is that, James, when I think it was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago now, you brought forth that scripture that brother, I don't remember his name.
Oh, the blood scripture, yeah. Ezekiel 16:6.
You know, I have a significant amount of blood in my uterus that they say if it doesn't reabsorb now, it's a high risk for miscarriage. And if it doesn't reabsorb before the first trimester, it's a high risk for preterm labor, and, you know, all these things. And I've been saying that scripture.
Yeah. Amen.
Every day. Yeah. And I'm confident, I'm believing that I'm going to get a good report. Amen. And even if the blood doesn't go away, I know God's going to touch this baby and deliver it all the way. Amen. And I just can't say enough, like, how thankful I am to have this word and to have, like, a husband that I get scared when I start spotting. Or, you know, things go through my head that, you know, what if? That I have this word, and I'm just, I can't say enough.
Amen. God bless Sister Kara.
I didn't want a Sunday to go by without me just giving God the praise. And I also want to tell everybody, and I know some people don't care, but my husband got up and he said a woman shouldn't cut her hair, and I did not cut my hair. So I want to leave everybody at rest. I normally wear wigs or whatever. This is my hair. And so so I was telling my husband, I said, I'm tired of wearing other people's hair on my head. God gave me hair, and whatever it looks like, I'm just going to be thankful in it, you know. And I said, I'm tired of being like, oh, it's not long. Oh, it's not this. Oh, it's not. I said, but God, you made me perfect.
Amen.
You know, and I said, and I'm going to carry that, you know, and I'm just so thankful. But I didn't want to bring a reproach on my husband, because I know people look from all over the world and they'd be like, well, Brother Lockett said you shouldn't cut his hair, and his wife's hair is short, you know. So I was just like, I didn't want to bring a reproach on him. I want to stand up and be a testimony for what he stands for. And I'm just so thankful, and I'm so thankful for this word. And what's been coming to me this week is the balance that we get here,
right?
You know, I took my grandchildren to my niece is a cheerleader for Central State, so I took my grandkids to see her cheer. But such having a rest, not condemned, not feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm not representing, just living. Like Brother Moore said, you just live every day, and you will manifest what's in you. And people will be drawn to you because of who you are. They weren't saying, oh my gosh, that's a Christian over there. They were drawn without even knowing. You know, God sees God. The deep calls to the deep, you know, and that's just how simple it is. No matter where you are, there will be a connection, because God said, all that I've given you will come to you. I didn't have to stand up there and fan and say, oh, I'm a believer and all that stuff. No, that deep calls to the deep, and they approach me. Then later on that evening, I took some more grandkids, and we went to a concert. I know, bad grandmother. And we went to a concert, and we just had such a blessing time, because I knew who I was, you know. And just no matter what atmosphere you in, you control that atmosphere.
Right.
Because it's the God in you that controls it. No matter what it looked like. And my niece was giving a testimony. The one that goes to Central State, she's in the choir. Her bus last week when we were on the road, she was traveling, stopped twice. They were on it for 24 hours and got hit twice. You know, and I was just thinking, God, that, you know, God's bride was on that bus. No matter how long it took us, that was precious cargo.
Right.
If he wanted to go 10 miles an hour, God wanted us to go 10 miles an hour. You know, it's like he was projecting his bride. And I was thinking about those poor kids at Central State, and we all know what happens on 24 hours on a bus. And they had to go to restroom. It was just chaotic. But for us to go that far, and they weren't even going that far, I just gave God all the praise.
Right.
I said, because it could have been so much different.
Mm-hmm.
It could have turned out, but God already knew it wasn't. He had his precious cargo on a bus. Mm-hmm. And he took care of us. And I'm just so thankful. And the balance that we get here,
right,
that no matter where you are, just live. And God will take care of it. And I just want to praise everybody,
amen,
for this body. I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Right.
When we were there, I couldn't say enough of how proud I was of the pastor,
amen,
the ministry.
Amen.
I mean, to identify with them, I'm just so thankful. And it's nothing I've done. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Can I testify to you?
Yeah.
I just want to thank God because, you know, I appreciate what we get here. Body edifies body. And, you know, I was thinking what I brought back from South Carolina is I'm going to give God my all.
Right.
You know, I'm not a good musician. And I've never thought I was. And Satan held that over my head.
Right.
I've been here. What is it, honey? 38 years or something. And I've never felt like I was a decent musician and could give God enough praise. But you know what? I thought God uses us right where we're at.
Right.
And you know, it's not on me. It's the body ministry. When
right.
we got together yesterday, I loved it because everyone was just raising up their voices or their music or their instruments. And we were just being us.
That's
and
right.
I appreciate us.
Amen.
I thank God for this body and the closeness we had. Sister Michelle triggered my thoughts about how close we are. We were like family on
yeah,
that bus.
Right.
But that didn't come by ourselves.
No.
That came by the ministry.
Amen.
That came by the ministry that has rebuked
Amen.
Us and rebuked
yeah.
us
yeah.
and rubbed those corners off of us and told us, you know, not to judge the wrong way.
Right.
And I appreciate this so much. And, you know, Brother Loudon, God touched my sister with cancer. He's not a respecter person, and I'm holding that over you too.
Amen.
And I just thank God for all
right.
we did here. I'm looking forward to what's
coming. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to testify as well. If you don't believe God is in this place, well, you're blind.
Yeah.
And God touches us right where we are. So I have two things I wanted to say. When Kara was testifying and she was talking about having blood issues, no matter what you're going through in this body, somebody has gone through that before that.
Right.
I was high risk pregnancy. Your mother took care of me. When I spent the first two pregnancies in bed, and I was in just bleeding like a four alarm fire. And Sister Dawn took me in her house and she took care of me. And they said, this, you can't that, you can't the other. I have three children, Kara. He can bring you through.
Oh, yeah.
He can bring. So I just want to let you know he can do it.
Amen.
And then I'm not on a backing up testimony. I still say
right.
I am healed. If we never say it, it's never going to be yours.
Right.
Now, let me say this. Where's Sister Michelle at? What you doing in my testimony, sis? Only last night, I have the wig on. Pastor Moore said, he said these words. He said, what is it about men like the natural woman? I think it's far prettier, like you said, with somebody else's hair, because I think mine is not. During this message, you know, all this white sister had this long flowing hair. So I find your hair ain't long and flowing. And then the Lord told me this. He said, the only thing worse than 2 feet of naps is 5 feet of naps. If you ever had to comb it. Okay, it's all right. So what? I took the wig off. I said, what that song said, just as I am.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're not alike,
right.
but it's okay. My hair is kinky. It's beautiful.
Amen.
God made it that way.
Amen.
It looks like
Amen.
That because that's the way he made it. My skin is dark because
Amen.
That's the way he made me. I look like I'm supposed to look.
Right.
And for years, you know, we had to struggle all this and you try to change yourself into somebody else.
Yes.
Be who you are.
Right.
And that's what I'm taking away. And Sister Dawn, if I'm taking away anything from this meeting, it's dedication. Dedication. Everybody knows I'm loud. But, oh, let me say this. I got up there to play. I could have peed my pants. I was so scared, but I gave it to him, Jack. Amen. You know, if I didn't do it, I tried to do it. Brother John really blessed me. I really, really appreciate Brother John. I esteem him highly, and he said something to me the other night. Because, you know, after you do something, you're on the ground. Oh, God, I think I'll hang myself. but you know, because you, and we practice, and we practice, we practice. And then we get there, and it doesn't happen. Oh, and then I'm, you know, got up to, I had to get up there anyway, and I didn't play what I had planned to play. I didn't do it nearly as well as what I planned to do. Well, nothing worked, but that's okay. That's okay. Brother John said this to me, these words, after I came back, and you know, you beat yourself and everything. He said, oh God, he said, I'm proud of you. You know, your words to you might mean nothing, but it might be a lifeline to somebody else. He said he was proud of me. I told, I said, Brother John, I was so scared I could have peed my pants. But he said, that's why I'm proud of you. And I found out bravery was something this. One, I've been really brave two times in my life that I can think of. One time was when Sister Kim was sick and she had to go to the doctor, and I promised her I would take her. Now, you know, I don't see that good. And it was raining cats and dogs. And I had no reason to be out in the red weather that day at all. But I promised her I would take her. So I got out there, and I was crying because I did not, I couldn't see the driver. But I kept, the thing that kept me going forward was I promised her. Then I almost got all the way to her house, and I said, I just can't do this. I'm in tears almost. I just can't do this. I looked at the time. I said, she doesn't have time to call somebody else. Said, sometimes you're all somebody's guy. Right. She got in the car that day, and she looked like death warmed over. She had to have two transfusions that way. And I said, for once in my life, I was brave. Being brave doesn't mean you're not scared. Being brave means you're so scared you could just pee your pants, but you do it anyway. Right. And the other time I was really brave was last weekend when I got up on the stage. I was so, oh, y'all don't know.
Yeah, we know.
In front of 500 people?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But I did it.
Yeah, you did it. Amen. 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 Appreciate testimonies. Appreciate that. Now, we got, yes, Brother Lockett.
Oh, happy birthday. She made the trip, too. That's a warrior right there. Appreciate you, sister.
Amen.
God bless you.
Let me now, give just my a testimony quick, real quick here.
Let me do this announcement real fast.
Okay.
We got, when we do our Thanksgiving dinner, please make sure you text Sister Elise what you're going to bring so she can plan out the meal. Oh, okay. So she wanted to get that out there. So remember, go ahead, Brother.
You know, I appreciate the Lord how much he means to me.
Amen.
You know, because life is full of junk.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Some more than other times. But, you know, he's got it.
Yes.
You know that line in that song, you know, he writes my story.
Right.
He holds it all together.
He holds it all together.
Man. If it wasn't for this word.
Right.
Man of all, most miserable. Of course, I wouldn't know that I should be that miserable. Now, it, you know, it lets me know how miserable I really am. But it gives me the answer. It
right.
sees me through everything. And it's, I was thinking this last week, too, or Sunday, that, you know, he's just got it all. And I think, you know, I was thinking this morning how that a child, you know, he's happy-go-lucky, you know, fall back, whatever, dad's got him. But, you know, and then he goes through the time when maybe don't appreciate parents quite so much, you know, changing. But as he gets older and older and older, then he realizes
right.
how much those parents did.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
And if anything, you know how I've come through things, and he's brought me through things, and I've reaped and I've sowed, and you know what you always do.
Amen.
Good or bad, righteous or unrighteous.
Right.
And but he's brought me through that. The word has brought me through it all.
Amen. Brought me through it all. Amen.
And it will continue.
He will.
Right. And that's my peace. That's my rest. That's something that you could never put into words. You could never, you know, and sometimes I look like I haven't done anything right. And and that's probably pretty right. You know, I was thinking that analogy, Brother Bram talked about that pig and, you know, and becoming a man. Well, when that pig, when he's a pig, he's got no clue what a man is. No. He's not even able to comprehend what a man is, you know. And we, you know, think about the other side and think about what it'd be to be glorified. And eyes not seen,
ears not heard,
neither enter into the hearts of man.
Right.
What the Lord has. But we root around in the mud and we think we're doing pretty good. And come up and, I was thinking about Ted's pigs. He's got these pigs that graze, you know. They're not in the mud so much. Mine, 10 by 10, you know, nothing but mud. You know, and they're happy, content, and muddy from one side to the other. And Ted's are out there all clean and don't hardly know maybe what is the root in the mud. I don't know for sure what they do. But I know they're a lot cleaner. They're on grass. But they're both pigs.
Right.
Both pigs. One might look pretty good and one might look pretty bad, but they're still pig.
Yeah.
But when we get there, when it comes time to go home, you know, I look at this world and look at what I've seen and I look at people and how cruel they can be. And I look at me and how much I overstep and wish I hadn't and you know, spend half my time repenting. The other half saying, Lord, what do you want? Fix me. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin?
Right.
I hear you.
Every time you do good, evil is present. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm making is that he's always there.
Always.
And
always
he's
right.
Always faithful. He's always
right.
Amen. And he's so real.
Amen. Amen.
It's a group of people that love the Lord. Let's sing page 232, key of C. Go ahead, Brother Ted.
I don't like to hold that thing like that. To the holders.
Amen.
I'm just glad to be here for.
Amen.
It's just you go back for so many memories that we've had, and this trip brought back so many memories because Fred and I go way back, back when he was here.
Right.
And it just puts you back down memory lane for a little bit because you see where you came from, where you're going, and how many friends you meet and how many friends you miss and stuff like that. And you never know when I was sitting there, I just said, Lord says, just get up. I said, okay, fine. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I have no idea. Take no thought, he says. Well, back memory lane goes back and I just came on my mind is saying, this trip of a lifetime really puts things in perspective too. And it shows it to me. It says like, okay, someone out there that really believes this message, really believes this message. Yeah. It's not just those that just kind of dabble and dibble around it. This man really believes this message.
Oh, yeah.
Fred goes way back and way, way back. Even before I came here, he was here. He was here, and it'll be 40 years ago in April that he was here in a meeting, and I didn't even know who he was at all, he came up here for a little while and then stayed here for a little while, and I did not know who he was at the time when I first came in. But that man loves this message.
Oh, yeah.
He really does. Mm-hmm. He loves us so much. And he is a believer. And it just makes you go, your heart goes back and say, there's people out there that, you know, because we're bombarded every day of all kind of crap, you know, everything that, and you don't find anybody that really believes this message from afar.
Right.
There's an example right there.
That's right.
And this man does believe this message. And you know, it makes us even more that we're longing to go home. I'm longing to go home. Right. I am. I just thank God for this. I really do. More I can even express. And it makes a person just sit back and just say, okay, Lord, it's time. Hopefully it'll be here. You know, and we're wishing someday. Oh, and it won't be long.
Maybe.
Can't be long. As much as going on right now. Cannot be that long.
Right.
And we'll be young.
Amen.
And I long for that day. We're calling for it.
Yeah.
We're really calling for it. It will happen. It right. will happen. I'm standing on that. I've been standing on for 40 years. Will be in April. So thank God for it.
Yes.
Thank God. And don't take people here lightly.
No.
No, don't take them. When they sometimes you don't realize when they say something. I know that they'll say a little something, and it's like, wow, you know. And it's just because we're all fitly joined together, and each one of us need each other.
That's right. Oh yeah.
And everybody helps everybody, and we don't realize how much we do help
You're
each
right
other.
About that.
Don't forget, and don't take it complacent. God is with us.
Amen.
He is
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So true, man.
I really love the Lord. KFC.
Amen.
Page 232.
Yes, I do.
I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory.
Father, Lord, we love you. They can only guess what you've done for me, but I know what you've done. You've given me victory over every situation that's ever come my way. You've always made a way out. And not only have you made a way out, but you come and revealed yourself to me in such a way that it can never be taken away from me. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what the circumstances hold. I don't care what people say. I don't care what I even say. It won't change the fact that you've revealed yourself to me. And that's the greatest victory that we could ask for. To have a clear understanding, to know who we are, to know where we stand in Christ. Oh, that's worth everything. You can take my houses, lands, jobs, friends, families. You can even take my life. But you cannot take away who I am. Amen. For if this earthly tabernacle even be dissolved, I got another one. I'm not even worried about this one. So it doesn't matter, Lord. When I go through the trials, Lord, you go with me. When I walk through the fiery furnace, Lord, you go with me. You said in the scriptures, Lord, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the valley of death, thou art with me. So it doesn't matter what the bride goes through, because she's human like everybody else. But Lord, we are equipped for the journey. You have equipped us. And Lord, as we gather here this morning, we gather in thanksgiving. Thankful to know who we are. Thankful to know your word. Thankful to be strong. Thankful to have something that the rest of the world needs and can't get. Oh, I love you, Lord. I've opened the Bible here. Lord, open our hearts. Speak to us today. Walk these aisles. Make us more sure today as we walk out than we were when we walked in. Those that couldn't be here today, Lord, ask you to go before them and bring them back home to the house of God. those who have turned down your word, Lord, ask you to give them a second chance to pick this thing up and run this race. Those that are sick in body, whether they're here at home, ask you to move in Kara's behalf, move in Don and John's behalf. Ask you to move with, Lord, our brother Chris's wife. Lord, cancer's nothing to you. Oh, we've seen you move it. We're not talking from somewhere that we haven't seen you do it. And Brother Branham said, if you can meet the same requirements, the same conditions, that you're obligated to do the same thing. So, Lord, doctors can say what they think it is, but, Lord, you're the only one who knows what it really is. And not only do you know, but you can change it. You can turn it around. You can remove any symptom so that even make the doctors wonder what happened. Thank you for touching Dawn's sisters, Lord. Thank you for touching Trevor. Thank you for so many testimonies that are standing and sitting right here amongst us. That's very proof that you are real and that your word is true. Now have your way today, Father. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, I've got one scripture that I want to read. It's St. John chapter 14. It's verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back. I know we were here Wednesday, but it's Sunday morning. At home. You know, be it ever so humble, there's no place at home. Good to see Brother Covey here. Amen. I like to say about, I don't even know how long, it might have been 6 months ago or so. I don't know when, but Jerry Allen, Brother Allen, met me in the back of the church. I was closing out service, and I walked back there, and he put his arm around me and just whispered in my ear, said, what would you think about me building you a new pulpit? And I said, I never thought of that. I said, well, amen. If you feel that you want to do that, then do that. Well, it's now in that room. It's done. And I want to thank Brother Allen for doing it. He does amazing work. It's 100%, I guess it's 100% oak. It's beautiful. I mean, and so somewhere along the line, that's coming here, and this one will be going away. It has bigger space. You know, you got your, you, now we have tablets and Bibles and books, and, you know, so it's got more surface. And Jeremiah said it's 2 inches higher. Hey, that works for me. I don't know what it's going to do for Jeremiah and Jay, but it's going to. But I do want to get him a card and thank him for all of his labor of love, because he didn't have to do it. He wanted to do it. I didn't even ask him to do it. He wanted to do it. It makes a difference. See, that's the difference, is when somebody wants to do something, You let them do it. If you gotta ask somebody or base somebody, and you know, then it doesn't have the same effect. But I appreciate his work, hard work, because you know, that was Jesus' talent. He's a carpenter, and so you couldn't ask to be in a better field. But he's not even just a carpenter. Brother Allen is a good one. And I appreciate, he did the counter, if y'all don't know it, I don't know if we even mentioned it to people, but he built the counters in the women's restroom. And I know your sisters know it, or the brothers are like, huh? See, if had you been clean in the church. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. Ain't nothing to see here. But he did a great job. Yeah, that's what I said. It's back there if you want to take a look at it. You'll see it because it's going to be here, but I really appreciate it. Now, I read the scripture this morning. And I'm excited about it. I'm sort of nervous about it. I'm not nervous and nervous, and I don't know where to go with it, but nervous that it's a lot. And I want to start out by the title, and Jeremiah will smile when I say it, but the title is One Coming of the Spirit. Now, I don't know, and I've tried to think back. I know Brother Childress has preached this many times, but I've thought, so have I ever? And I don't know if I have. Preached the message on the one coming of the Spirit. But it's important, and Jay and Jeremiah, I think this is one that we will put on the website because it's somewhat of a teaching thing, and it would be something. I don't think we have anything like that out there. And so I think that we want to use this message out on the website because I want us to get started and doing more. I get tickled at myself because the last time I wasn't working, which was a long time ago, I put on my calendar every Wednesday to put a message together for the website. And I have never taken that off of my phone. So every Wednesday I get this reminder of what I'm not doing. So with me getting out of the workforce next January, this coming January, it'll probably give me more time to spend more time in that type of work, which, you know, all those things are important. People are checking the website out, and they're looking for, a lot of preachers look for help in some topics, maybe things that we've discussed here, and this is one of them that I know was real important, and Brother Childers talked on it a lot. And I thought it would be good to talk on it because sometimes, especially in this message, we don't understand the one coming of the Spirit. We know that God's one God, but we don't know how it works. And part of our confusion is Brother Branham. It is. It is. And I'm going to read some quotes here to show you. And that's why I thought this would be a good one to keep, because this is going to show you what Brother Branham believed and how he believed and how he taught it and then how he changed it. And it's important to see this because the majority of the people in and out of the message don't really believe in one coming of the Spirit. They say they do. But you remember, Brother Branham came from a Baptist background. And until God would change him, he taught the best he could from what he had. A lot of people don't even believe that Brother Branham had a progressive ministry. But just because he was a prophet doesn't mean he didn't have a progressive ministry. He had a progressive ministry. And you can go back and read his quotes from 33 on forward. And a lot of things that he taught before the opening of the seals, he changed. He changed. And people don't recognize that. A lot of people don't even know Brother Branham ever changed. Because they think that a prophet's always a prophet and everything a prophet said is thus saith the Lord and it's right and nothing can change and on and on. Brother Branham knew better than that. That's like even at, like he was talking about 77. He said, I don't prophesy. He said, I predict. I don't prophesy. There's a difference between a prediction and a prophecy. Well, when we got to 77 and the rapture didn't happen, people left the message because they said, well, he's a prophet. He's a false prophet. He knew. He said, I don't know when. He said, it's not even given unto man. He said, but in 77, something I predict something's going to happen. So Brother Branham knew there were things that he knew or things that he felt, but that wasn't thus saith the Lord. And Brother Branham did was when he preached the message, from 33 forward, when he preached with the most understanding of the Word of God that he had. Right. And in that was mixed with his own ideas.
Right.
You say, well, how can you say that about Brother Branham? He said that. He said, I'm a man. And I thank God I'm a man because I can change my mind. And Brother Branham also said, so I'll get the start, I'll get the foundation started here. Brother Branham also said that I was going to open up the seal and preach the message of the seal, and I was coming out here and I was going to make a terrible mistake. He said, but when the angel comes, in other words, when God comes and he corrects you, you mean a prophet got corrected many times?
Amen.
Every prophet gets corrected. John the Baptist got corrected. John was wondering if Jesus was the Christ.
Yeah.
He said, is this the guy or should we look for somebody else?
Yeah.
Jesus said, tell my prophet, I'm the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He started describing to him the scriptures that he was fulfilling. He said, just go tell John the blind's been getting their seat. This healing's been done. Everything's done according to the word. And the prophet said, oh, okay. So the prophet can only prophesy when he gets thus said the Lord from God.
Amen.
Until he gets thus said the Lord, he can only do the best he can with what he's got. Elijah would prophesy and he'd run ahead and hide in a mountain. He'd prophesy over Jezebel and then run.
Right. Amen.
Caiaphas, the high priest, even though he was on the wrong side, was a true prophet.
Yeah.
Prophesied. But then he'd turn around and preach false doctrine and ran a church. So see, a prophet's only good as he is when he hears from God.
Right.
So Brother Branham, until he heard from God, all he could do is preach what he knew and believed.
Amen.
And with the Baptist background, he knew the Baptists weren't right. That's why he didn't believe in a Trinity God. That's why he didn't water baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He knew things that the scripture were calling for, and he did everything he could. But there were things that Brother Branham taught as a younger minister, that had to be corrected along the way. And one of them was the coming of the Spirit.
Right.
Now, the coming of the Spirit affects us how, Nate? Says the coming of the Spirit affects us is what happens to you at your new birth.
Right.
How you get your new birth. When you get your new birth. What does he do at your new birth? Because,
right.
See, we have people that try to get you to do something in order to get your new birth. But you can't do anything to get your new birth. It doesn't come because of your goodness. It doesn't come because of what you've done or what you stopped doing or what you clean up or what you lay down or what you pick up. It doesn't come because of only any of those things. The new birth comes because God comes and quickens himself to you.
Amen.
You don't seek God.
No.
Amen. Come on and breathe.
You don't look for God.
No.
You don't find God.
No.
You can't find God.
No.
You can't even see God.
No.
So it's not about your goodness.
No.
It's not about what you can offer.
Ah.
It's not about what you can lay down, what you can clean up. But we, in and out of the message, feel like we've got things we got to do before God comes to you. But because ye are sons.
Yes.
See, they got that. Well, don't get me on predestination. Because you're a son is the only reason God's even going to come to you.
Right.
And when he comes to you, he will quicken you because you are his.
Right.
No man can go to God except he comes from God.
Amen.
He's got to draw you. He's got to pull you. He's got to give you the desire. You think you got a desire for God? Where'd that come from? You got a deep calling to the deep? Where'd that come from? You got things you're changing in your life? Where's that coming from? But we have a feeling and we have an idea. And we got it from Brother Branham. That we got to come and do something.
Right.
And get ourselves ready for the Spirit to come on you.
Right.
Anything you can drop, you can pick up. Any habit you quit, you can start.
Right.
So it can't be because I've done something.
No.
It's not of works that any man should boast. Not of any works. But in our tradition, And because of we have quotes for it.
Oh, yeah.
We got quotes for this. Because of our tradition and our quotes, and because man wants to do something for his salvation, we use those things, and all we do is put people under condemnation. And we put them under law, and we put them under tradition, and we put them in a place where they feel like they got to do something. Well, you can do nothing for your salvation. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. You're not going to get it. You're not going to go find it. You're not going to pick it up. And it's only going to, the Comforter's only going to do one thing. I mean, we got the Comforter doing all kind of stuff. But Jesus told us here, James 14, exactly what he was going to do. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you. There you go. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. The Holy Ghost takes the Word of God and teaches it to you. He shows it to you. So you can't even have the Holy Ghost until he quickens it to you. So what can you do before the Holy Ghost that's going to give you the Holy Ghost? Nothing. Because until he teaches you, you have no Holy Ghost. If I'm going to live better, it's not going to be because I've decided I want to live better. It's going to be because the Holy Ghost teaches me that I should do better. But we want to get people to clean their lives up and get ready for the Holy Ghost. Oh, you can do that. I'm not opposed to it. I'd rather you be a clean sinner than a dirty sinner. I'd rather you be Ted's pig than Don's. But a pig is a pig. So it doesn't hurt to drop stuff and lay things down and clean things up. But you should understand what you're doing. You're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And until the Holy Ghost comes, you can do it and undo it.
Right. See?
That's right.
You can clean Don's pig up until it looks like Ted's pig.
Yeah.
Sprinkle some grass on top of it. Perfume it, put a bow tie on it, clean it up, make it nice, and let it get next to that mud hole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go in that mud hole because I'm clean. The very nature. See, the thing is, the very nature of that pig. Thank you for that. Is to be in the mud. Put a tuxedo on it if you want. Clean it up if you want. Make it smell good if you want. The first opportunity that pig gets, his very nature will draw him back to the hole. But if you can change, if you could change the very nature of a pig, then he won't go get in the mud. So the change is not the changing of the pig's outward appearance. But you got to change his very nature.
Amen.
And the very nature doesn't change outside of the one coming of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
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 We want to clean them up. We want to get them ready. We want to drop this. We want to drop that. And I'm not opposed to it. Drop everything you can drop. But that don't give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That don't change your nature. You got to get the teacher. Say, I don't understand this at all. Get the teacher.
Yeah.
I don't understand this revelation, this message y'all talk about. Get the teacher.
Yeah. Right.
You get the teacher, and I don't have to worry about your nature.
Right.
He'll reveal everything you need.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you don't even know where you're going in your life until he gets in there.
I know that.
You get him in there, he'll teach you where you need to go.
Right.
He'll lead and guide you.
Yeah.
Into all truth.
Amen.
You don't have to pump it up. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to make people do things. You don't have to make people enjoy each other. There's no way I can make everybody have a good time on that trip.
No, 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 no.
He shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you, everything that God's word said, he's going to bring it to your remembrance. Wow. But that's after the teacher comes.
Right.
See, we want people to get cleaned up before they get the teacher.
Right.
That's church tradition.
Right.
That's what we're taught. That's what Brother Branham taught. That's what we all taught. That's what we all believe. That's why people say, well, I'll get the Holy Ghost after I do all these things and lay all these things down. You don't need it. If you're going to do it all yourself, you don't need it. But when that Spirit of truth has come, his whole job is to lead and to guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read a quote here of the Broken System, Brother Branham. Before I go back, this is 64. You don't think Brother Branham changes word about mind about things. When I finish reading these things, you'll say, wow, I didn't know there was such a difference. And this is Brother Branham in 64. Today I was talking to my good friend, Dr. Lee Vail. I think Jeremiah read this a couple of weeks ago. Who is present now, and he's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on Scripture, very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Here you go. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago, he said. I said, no, I can't see that. He said, neither do I. Though I've been taught that, he said, what do you think would be the evidence? I said, the most perfect evidence I could think of is love. That's what he said. Brother Branham used that as the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Because Scripture says, if you love one another, you know, you're my disciples. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. And Brother Branham actually was using love as the evidence, thinking that that was it. And that's why sometimes people try to make themselves love. I call it the sloppy agape. They're nice to you. They treat you nice. They're just because they think love is the evidence. I gotta love you. I can't love him if I don't love you. And all those scriptures are right in their place. But love is what Brother Branham was using as the evidence. He said, and I said, the most perfect evidence I could think of is love. So we got to talking on that. And then I thought it sounded pretty good. So I just held to that. You see, Brother Branham, just like the rest of us, until you get something better, you'll hold on to what you got. That's how they walked through the age. Brother Branham said, those messengers, if they had lived long enough, they'd been right here. They held to what they had until something better came along. That's why after Luther finished with the just shall live by faith and Wesley come on the scene, those believers just stepped right on into that. They held on to the just shall live by faith until they got to the sanctification part of the message. And then they stepped in that. Then comes the gifts and the tongues and the restoration of word. And then it came out of the restoration of word into the message of the hour. And the proof of who you are is that you keep walking.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
You are walking with the word. That's what brought you here.
Yes.
And I thought that sounded pretty good. So I just held to that. If a man's got love, but one day. Then Jesus came. But one day, the Lord in a vision straightened me out. Now, how can that be wrong? How can that be wrong? But one day, the Lord in a vision straightened me out. And he said that the evidence of the Spirit who those who can receive the word. Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word.
Amen.
See, we beat each other over the head because we don't see this, we don't see that. This is doing this, this is doing that, and this is going to live like this, and then like that. And they're sitting there eating the word the whole time, And you're sitting here eating whole earth the whole time, and you don't even believe you've got it because you're waiting to try to get rid of something to get God. Waiting for more love. When the Holy Ghost comes, I'll love Brother Moore better. It's receiving the word. And then Dr. Vail said unto me, that's scriptural. He said, because in John 14, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Ghost, is coming to you, he will reveal these things to you that I've taught you and will show you things to come. So there is the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. He has never told me anything wrong yet. Now, he didn't say he didn't have things wrong. He never told him anything wrong. That is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Is he who can believe the word, you can receive it. That's clear.
Amen.
That is clear.
Yes.
So when people are judging you, and they're judging you by your good works, or you're judging you by what you've laid down or what you picked up and how clean you live and all these things, that's not the evidence.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I've got some people who have some pretty awful lives eating the word of God.
Amen.
All I do is just hang in there.
Right.
All I do is keep preaching. Because I know what's happened to me.
Amen.
What's happened to me in 40 years is God's been preaching to me, and I've been dropping what he wants me to drop. Laying this down, laying that down. It didn't happen day one. It didn't happen before I got the new birth. It didn't even start happening until after he came.
Amen.
You can't even clean it up right until he gets on board. Because he's got to teach you how to clean it. He's got to teach you what he wants you to lay down. You know what? God gets under, I always say God says gets under the hood.
That's right.
A lot of preachers, a lot of teachers, they want to shine up the hubcaps.
Yeah, right.
They'll polish the car. They'll make it look good on the outside. And they'll look like a moving rich car. But they don't worry about what's under the hood.
Yeah.
What God does, he gets under the hood and he adjusts what he wants to adjust even before you turn the key. I don't lay things down because I have to. I lay things down because God changes my want to. He changes my taste buds. He changes my desire. He changes what I want and what I don't want. And when God tells me to lay something down, I lay it down. When God tells me to pick something up, I'll pick it up. When God tells me to change something, I'll change it. Why? Because he's on board. People want God to change stuff in you before he gets there. He can't do that. He's got to get on the inside. I can't drive my car from inside the church. I got to get in my car.
Amen.
I got to get inside. Once I get inside, I can go anywhere I want. Once he gets on the inside of you, he can go anywhere he wants. He'll drive you right where you need to. He'll drive you from here to glory.
Amen.
And if you need a tune-up, he'll tune you up. If you need to change something, the spark plug, he'll change the spark plug. If you need a new battery, he'll get in there and change that. Some people have pretty cars and don't know a thing about under the hood. Never changed oil one time. But they go to the car wash 3 times a week. That's the way we try to do Christians. We try to get them to dress right. Everybody needs to wear a suit. Everybody needs to do this. Everybody needs to not do this. Everybody needs to lay this down. Pick this up. Do this. Don't do that. We put all this stuff on us. And then when we can't match it, they say we can't get the Holy Ghost because we can't do what they want us to do. But you need to look under my hood. I love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me, but I know what he's done for me. I know he pulled me out of the miry clay. I know he set my feet on a rock today. Oh, you may not be able to see it, but I can. You may not know it, but I know it. You might think I'm not ready for the journey, but I know I am.
Why do you know you're ready? Because he said I could go. He revealed to me that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. If I never get the hubcaps clean, if I never get the windows washed, if I never get the thing looking like you think it should look, I'm ready to go. Why? Because he's come. And he's taking his boat up with me. I can't get any more God than what I've got right now. I can't get any more Holy Ghost than what I've got right now. Oh my goodness.
Alright.
Yes, Lord. Let me just throw this in because I was reading this last night. I got excited. St. John 8. I got a little note here in green. Don, read what I have in green. Just the green part there.
People come two different places.
Okay. People come from two different places. And I got excited because I'd never seen this till last night. I knew it. But this was so clear last night, I just want to share. It had nothing to do with one coming spirit. It's just good stuff. this is an appetizer. St. John chapter 8, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Two different places. And I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Jesus said, I come from one place and you come from another. You can't see
what he said.
There's people can't be saved. They didn't come from God. Pour all the water on them you want. Put them in a suit if you want. Put a bow tie on them if you want. Put perfume on them if you want. If they didn't come from God, they're going right back to the water.
That's the truth I've ever heard.
That's why I don't try to spend too much time converting the unconvertible. People said, I think this top come off of this car. It's a hard top. You can't convert the unconvertible. Jesus wasn't here for everybody. He came unto his own.
There you go.
He come for his own. So you got to be a part of God to even pick this up. So why are we trying to get everybody in dresses and pants and clothes and shoes and try to clean all this outside up, and they're just a pig? They never came from God. You spend more time trying to look for some evidence on the outside when you don't even see the real evidence. The evidence you really should be looking for is under the hood. What got me excited, though? Oh, I knew St. John 8, but I got excited about St. John 17. Because it's going to make St. John 8 make sense. St. John 17, verse 14. This is Jesus here talking, praying. I have given them thy word. And the world had hated them. That's those that Jesus talked about over there in St. John 8. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Yes. Listen to verse 16.
Okay.
They are not of the world. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
St. John 8 just said you're of the world. Let me remind you what Don said. People come from two different places. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We come from the same place he come from. We can't help but to get this. We're ordained and receive this. We can't help but to hear this. We can't help but to see this. We can't help but to understand this. Because we are not of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. That's how you're going to get sanctified. You're not going to get sanctified because you laid something down. You're not going to get sanctified because you made a step. You're not going to get sanctified because you decided to do something. You're not going to get sanctified because you turned around and repented. You're not going to get sanctified because you laid something down and stopped doing something. The Word's going to sanctify you. Only sanctification you really get is by the Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you don't love the word, you can't get sanctified. My sheep will hear my voice. Why? Because they come from God and they're going back to God. No man can go to heaven except for he that come from heaven. Even me, even the Son of Man who's in heaven. Nobody can go to heaven unless you come from him. So it's not about you cleaning something up to get God. You're going to get God because you come from God. You're going to get God because you're a part of God.
Amen.
The believers of God cannot help but to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't have any choice.
That's right.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. We're none of this world, people. We're aliens. We're pilgrims and strangers. We come from God. We're going to God. What drew you to God? The Word. What keeps you here? The Word. What cleans your life up? The Word. Get the Word first. And the rest of us, seek ye first. All right. I got a stinger for you here. This is Brother Branham of 64. Jesus told Peter, who had been both saved and sanctified, Peter was. Wait a minute. But Jesus was here. That's true. But Peter cleaned up his life. That's true. He was sanctified, set aside for service. He was helping the Lord. That's true. Peter, Jesus told Peter, who was both saved and sanctified, because see, that's what we try to do. We want to break it up.
Come on.
We want to make saved one thing, sanctify something else, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost something else.
That's right.
I said, one come of the Spirit. Peter was saved. He was sanctified. But Jesus told Peter, he believed on Jesus, was sanctified. St. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he and the word is the same. They were sanctified, walking with the word. Potentially, they were sanctified potentially. What does potentially mean? You ain't there yet. Don't drive down Route 4 and see the Fairborn exit and stop and dance around the sign. Woo! Fairborn, 2 miles. You're potentially at Fairborn, but you're not really. Peter was saved and sanctified potentially. In other words, he was set aside, but he wasn't there yet. And people want to get people saved. And they think, oh, we had this big meeting and we saved 30 people.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
See, that's the denominational traditional way of doing that. We used to count heads by how many got saved. But that was last weekend. I was in Carolina. When did I say that? It was last weekend. And I told him, I said, I can have an altar call tonight. And I said, I can get you all up here to the altar. I said, but that's for me to count numbers. I don't need to know what you're doing with God.
I said, right where you're sitting in your seat, you can be born again. I mean, that's how easy it is. I don't need to know what you and God are doing. But our tradition makes us want to make it in steps and make us come in, get saved. Then we clean our lives up. We get sanctified. Our definition of sanctified is clean our lives up. But still the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But then after you get saved and sanctified, then you get the Holy Ghost. That comes afterwards. That's the way we teach it. And I'm going to show you why. Three steps to a birth. Okay. And here the word is the same. They were sanctified potentially through the truth, the word, the truth. And then Jesus told Judas, or Peter, he's talking to Peter, the night of the betrayal, he said, after you're converted. Brother Brown's making a point there. After you're converted. After you're born again. Then strengthen your brother. After you're converted. The man had followed him for 3 years and had his name on the Lamb's Book of Life. And had cast out devils and done great works and healed and done all kinds, preached the word and everything, and still wasn't converted.
Wow.
Amen.
We get excited when people do what Peter did right then. We get excited. We can think, oh, there got to be God there. Got to be God. No. It's one evidence.
Yeah, that's right.
One evidence.
Exactly.
Receiving the word.
Yes.
Peter still had a little few steps to go.
Amen.
But it wasn't because Peter needed to do anything else. He just needed to follow the word.
Amen.
And the word said, go to the upper room.
Right.
And when Peter went to the upper room, he was converted.
Right. Yeah.
It's not just following the word to a point. See, people think because you're in church, you're good. They think because you're following the word, you're good. They think because your name's on the book of life and you've done signs and wonders and the devils were subject to you, that you're good. That's not conversion. Judas did all those things. And wasn't even born again. The disciples did all those things. All the way up to the point that Jesus told them. See, the thing about it, when you're really following the word, you're going to follow the whole word. That's what believers do. Believers believe every word.
Yeah.
And everything Jesus will tell them, they step out on it.
Yeah, right.
Jesus told Peter, walk on water. He did it.
Right.
They started looking at circumstances. Then, whoa. And Jesus told them, do this. They did it. Jesus said, go to the city and get a loaf of bread, and I'm going to talk to this prostitute woman. They did it. I mean, everything the word told them, they kept doing. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, go to the upper room. And they did it. And they got in that upper room and they started looking at circumstances. They started looking at the scrolls and they started listening to what Jesus said. And they said, wait a minute. Wasn't it written about Jonah? Wait a minute. Didn't all these things happen? Wait a minute. This matches the word. Then here comes the Holy Ghost. The converter. Converter. And it took the word and put it in them. When the word comes forth, it takes the word and put, just like St. John said, he'll take a mind. My what? The word. And show it unto you. He had followed him for 3 years and had a name on the Lamb's Book of Life and had cast out devils and had done great works and healed and all and done all, preached the word and everything and still wasn't converted. See, you're leading to conversion. You're going up to it. But you cannot use those as evidence of you being born again.
Right.
Brother Branham, I wasn't going to read this. I'll just continue. The baby, when the act is taking place between the egg and the sperm on the germ, but when they potentially, the baby's there when the act's done, then the body is developed. Stage, but the baby has to be born here. And then it receives the breath of life. It's not yet the breath of life. You say, oh, it's alive. No, it isn't. The little nerves and jerking and muscles, see, that baby hasn't received life till it's born. And you may jump and jerk, but you're not. You got to be born. You know what I mean, Brother Branham said. You might do a lot of good things. You might even clean your life up. You might go to church. You might act holy. You might do all these things. You could be the best looking Christian in this building today. But if you have not been born again, you're still a bunch of jumping and jerking nerves. You must be born again. Now, we're going to go back over here because now I want to go back and show you what Brother Branham taught on this. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is where this comes from. Starting at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, now he's talking about, first of all, you've been born again. Yeah. You're escaping the lust of the world. You know, people, they almost think, and they don't understand that when you say, you know, when you're born again, the things of the world will grow strangely dim. Well, they think that that means that you don't want nothing to do with the world. No. That's not it. Your flesh loves the world. Always will. Your spirit loves the world and always will. But what changes is the nature of the spirit. At one time, our soul even loved the things of the world. And we had no problems getting along in the world. But at your new birth, when your soul was changed, the nature that was in you changed. Your very nature. That's why I don't have to worry about where you go, what you do. I don't have to worry about it. That's between you and your nature. Brother Branham said if Dillinger was in you, you'd collect guns. You'd want guns. You'd be Dillinger. If the life of Jesus Christ is in you, you'll want to do things that please him. Yes, it's just your nature. Whenever you go somewhere, you want to do what God wants you to do. That's your nature. That's not something we're forcing you to do. You do that because it's your very nature. You have no other nature. I can't, even if I wanted you to say, you know what? Go after the things of the world. You need to go out there and just love the world. Well, your flesh might. Your spirit might. But your soul's going to be crying the whole time. I don't want nothing to do with this. I hate this. This is not me. I don't even like this. I want to go to church. I want to serve God. I want to be a Christian. I want the word.
Amen.
That's your very nature. That's what brings me to the house of God. I don't come here because of y'all. I don't come here because y'all are such good people. I come here because the word of God is here. I've come here from the very beginning because the word of God is here. When I settled in the word and I heard it for the first time, I thought, oh my goodness, I never heard anything like this in my life. I didn't know nothing about William Branham. I didn't know nothing about Earl Childers. I didn't know nothing about the mess of the hour. I didn't know nothing about nothing. But when I came in here and heard the word preached, there was something about it that pricked my heart and I couldn't get away from it. If you tell me to deny today, I couldn't. Oh, I might deny me. I'll say, Nate, you're rotten to the core. To the core. But my core's not rotten.
That's right.
Just to it. Oh, you have all kind of problems. Yes, I do. Oh, you have short here and short there. Yes, I am. Oh, you need to clean this up. You need to clean that up. You're right about that.
Amen.
And I'll be the first one to say amen to it.
Amen.
But you cannot ever get me to deny the word. You cannot ever get me to say the word's wrong. I cannot deny the word because it's me.
Amen.
Whereby given unto us exceeding greatness. Let's jump down to verse 5. And besides this,
giving all diligence, at your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, listen to verse 8, because I thought this was a little interesting when I read this. For if these things be in you, if, means they don't have to. See, that's what we miss about this. We preach to y'all, you got to have these seven virtues or you're not a Christian. That's not exactly what's saying here. If these things be in you and abound, have a lot of it, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. If you do these seven things, you'll be fruitful. You will. No, that's not talking about born again. It's just talking about being fruitful, being able to be a good Christian.
Yeah.
Love your brother. You know, have virtue, patience. You know, these are things. But people try to use these things to get you to a birth. But that's not what I'm reading here. You won't be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got these things, you won't be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge. You'll know how to conduct yourself.
Right.
You'll be an example for somebody else.
Right.
But he ain't talking about new birth here.
No.
He said if you have these seven virtues in your life, you won't be barren and unfruitful. You know what? If you're sitting here today and you don't have these seven virtues in your life, you will be barren and unfruitful because you'll be an awful person. Let's think of the opposite. Let's see. You don't have faith. Don't have no virtue. Don't know nothing about the message. You're short-tempered. You don't have temperance. You're not patient. And you're ungodly. That's an awful person. I'd hate to run into a believer like that. But you know there are some. Oh, I've met them. I've been in this message for over 40 years, and I know I've met some that you're like, oh, my goodness. They call themselves a Christian? And they act like that?
Yeah.
But it's not the evidence.
Right.
But if you have those things in you, you'll be a much better neighbor.
Right.
Better to get along with. I'll take you out to eat. There's people that they wouldn't, if they had a welcome mat on their front door, they'd turn it backwards. They would. And I'm talking Christians. I know because I've seen it. Just mean. I've seen some mean Christians. I don't know where y'all been. I've been around some mean Christians. I've been around Christians trying to take your church. I've been around Christians trying to take your people. I've been around Christians trying to dog you.
Yeah.
Call your names. Ruin your name. You say, they're not Christians. They're not Christ-like. No, they're not. They're not bearing these seven gifts. Those virtues, they're not very virtuous at all. But I can't judge them by that. Because you know what? I've had some people treat me really bad. And then turn around later on and amen the word and want me to forgive them. Then what am I going to do? Am I going to be unfruitful, unforgiving, impatient? I'm going to let my virtue come out.
Right.
I'm going to forgive them.
Amen.
I had one brother I told him, did me awful, probably worse than any brother ever did to me.
Yeah.
He got sick. I went over and I said, you need anything, give me a call.
Amen.
Give me a call.
See there.
But does that mean I'm born again? No. I'm just showing those virtues.
Right.
When they were dogging me on the internet trying to tell me how bad our church was, and they were splitting the church wide open, and everybody's like, you need to get on the internet and fight back because they're saying this about you and they're saying that about you. I said, I ain't doing none of it. Let them do what they want. I don't have to get in the ring with them. I know who I am. He said about the young people, say they don't, they feel like I think our young people were freer than any of them in the message, actually, honestly, if you want to know the truth about it. But they say, I don't know, somebody's told me they felt like they were deprived or something. I don't know what the word is, but it doesn't matter.
You know, they get on the internet and they can say anything out there. And they do, and they will. But you know what? He opened not his mouth. You don't have to prove that you're a believer. You just have to believe. They say, well, they don't have this. They don't have that. I don't like this. I don't like that. They did this to me. They did that to me. I'm like, fine. And you may be right. Like the blind man, the ex-blind man. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus did this, Jesus did that. He said, you may be right. All I know. See, I can only talk from where I'm at. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Do what you want with the rest of it, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be virtuous. I want you to have all these things. But these are not the evidence of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Those are attributes of who you are.
That's right. Amen.
But that's not what we teach in this message. Now, Brother Branham said, I'm going to go back now because I'm going to show you what Brother Branham said. Now, I already read you what he said in 64.
Yeah.
I'm going back to 62.
All right.
Now, I want to say this, that there are some people who have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience, and so forth, and don't even profess to be Christians.
Yeah.
Now, we're teaching Sunday school. So am I, Brother Branham. And that's true. There are some people who have a portion of this and don't even pretend to be Christians. But that won't do it. It's like a blackbird trying to put a peacock feather in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. But be better to stay a blackbird, see? When he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply out of place.
Right.
Now, this is Brother Benham, 62. He was preaching, and he was trying to use these virtues, and he was showing you that if something doesn't change on the inside, swapping your feathers won't do you no good.
Right.
And that's the truth, and I tell you the same today. If you're going to be bad and evil and do just whatever, just go do it. Don't sit up here, act like you're a Christian.
Right.
Act like you love God.
Right.
And it doesn't show.
Right.
Don't put feathers on, eagle feathers, on your buzzard body. I'm just saying. Okay. We're getting further. We're going back in 62 because I want you to see where Brother Branham's mindset was. Now, these fellas, this is statue of a perfect man. See these old heads in here? They already know there's some stuff in that message. These fellas weren't required what these fellas are. They weren't required what this is, see? But he brought his church up the same way. The church up the same way he's bringing up his people. Now, he's talking about those seven virtues and how he had built the pyramid and bringing the church. Because he was talking about the seven ages having the seven virtues in those ages. He said he's brought the church up the same way he's brought up his people. Then Peter here says, first seven things, faith, virtue, see, coming up, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness in the word and the love of God. The Holy Ghost, Christ, in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've got all these virtues sealed in you. See, here Brother Branham was saying, you get these virtues, and then the Holy Ghost comes and he seals those in. Because he was looking at what was happening to the church ages and the seven virtues and the capstone coming at the building and the finishing of the body. Now, he spent more time on that, but he had tied it in to the virtues of us becoming a Christian. He says, in paragraph 342, he says, when a man possesses these kinds of things, then the Holy Ghost comes upon him. See, he was saying, you get these virtues, then the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That ain't what I read you a little bit ago. He wasn't talking about the word here. He's talking about having these virtues.
Yeah.
Then the Holy Ghost. Remember, Brother Branham thought that love was the evidence. And love was the capstone of the pyramid. So all that was in Brother Branham's mind when he was building this whole message about that. You might speak with tongues. You might impersonate any gifts of the God that God's got. You might do that. But until these virtues here go into you, you're still off the real. The real true foundation of faith. But when these virtues grow in and you add to that and to that, then you're a living monument. You're a living, moving idol. Jumping down over here in blasphemous names. Another one, 62. Now, when a member is born by the Holy Ghost into the family of God and has proven to have these virtues in him. Now, see, he was bringing it pretty tight. You get these virtues. Then the Holy Ghost coming on you. To have these virtues in him, that God can see virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and goodness in him. Then God seals him. After he sees all this, then he seals him. That's what Brother Branham was thinking in 62. Then he seals him. Then God seals him or places him. And then that's when you see the sons and daughters of God. After you get those virtues in you, God sees those virtues, then he seals you. But I thought the sealing was the Holy Ghost. But I thought the Holy Ghost can only quicken the word. See, what he said in 63 or 64, he wasn't saying in 62. But people still have that, even in and out of the message. We hear it all the time. Trying to bring you up to something, get you something, get those virtues. Come and make that step, the first step. You receive the word, you receive God. All he's got to do is quicken one thing to you. After 62, he didn't teach those virtues together like that, but he changed. Okay. Jesus said over here, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Much simpler. Get the word in you. One coming. You get the word in you and ask what you need and you'll have it. People, get the word in you. You get the word in you and it will change your life. I guarantee you it will. You want those seven virtues? Get the word in you. It'll teach you how to love your brother. It'll teach you how to have patience. It'll teach you how to really be a friend. Brother Branham said over here in perfect faith, and now if you abide in me, through him, he brought the word to you, and my word abides in you, then walk in the same kind of way, virtues flowing from you, the rivers of God, fountain of the blessings, just flowing out of the people. See, when you get the word in you, the virtues will flow out. Because you're going to treat your brother right because you love your brother. But what if I don't treat my brother right? Then those virtues won't flow out of me. And I'll be looking like an ungodly piece of junk. But if you love the word, you just hang in there long enough. What I see is when people don't treat me right and they love the word, eventually they come around. They'll be okay. They may not ever come back and tell me, I'm sorry that I treated you that way, but their virtues was changed and it'll show. And I'm like a person that you don't have to come to me and say, I don't care. I mean, you know, yeah, you treated me wrong, but it's not about me. As long as you get right with Christ. And you say, well, you can't get right with Christ because Scripture says go back to your brother. Yeah, that's true. You might have to come back. I'm not chasing you down to get it. Don, come on. Don, you better say you're sorry. Come on. Come on, Don. Now, you know. I know you love the word, so come on, Don. Tell me. Come on. I'm waiting. Mm-mm. No, because I know if Don loves the word of God, the word of God will take care of Don.
Whether he ever apologizes to me, because we always think, you better go back. You know what? Don's going to pay over here. He will. Because he's a son of God. And there's no condemnation over there, no judgment over there for us. So somewhere along the line, God's going to work on him. That word in him is going to work on him. And he's going to get it right. It may be to come to me. It might be to make me some cookies and hand them to him and say, here. Because that's the way Don would do it. He'd just, here. But I know what here means. I know what that means. And I'll say, thank you very much. And we move on as brothers. But see, the thing is, you get the word in you and those virtues will come out of you. A dove is cleansed from the inside out. I don't have to tell the dove what to do. The dove will do it because it's in its nature. Brother Brandon talked about that little duckling. That egg that hatched. That little duckling was hatched under a chicken. So I ain't even going to do the eagle. I'll do the duckling. And this duckling was under this chicken and it hatched out. It was the ugliest looking chicken. He walked funny. He talked funny. He looked funny. And the chickens all laughed at him, picked on him and everything else. But one day, Mama Chicken said, come on, children, let's go down by the river. And they got down there by the riverside, and that duckling was like, ooh. Ooh. Here's water. What hinders me? And he started waddling down towards the water. Mama Chicken was like, stand back. Get away. You'll drown. You'll die. That little duckling waddled right out in the water. It was his very nature. He couldn't help himself. And if you're a child of God, it's your very nature to be a Christian. You want to be right. You want the word. But what determines that you're a believer is not what you do, but what you believe. Now, Matthew 16. Won't read it just to save time because we're almost at noon. Jesus looking at Peter said, who do the men say that I am? You know the story. Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Father. And upon this, Brother Brown said, the rock of revelation, I will build my church. It's always been about the revelation. It's always been, God's had the same evidence of the Holy Ghost in every age.
Right.
Believe in his word.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, when I went and picked the seven ages and the messengers for those ages, I picked the man that close went and represented Paul's word. The closest one to the word. So the evidence of the Holy Ghost has always been the revealing of the word. When you come to the house of God, yes, I want you to wear dresses. Yes, I want you to cut your hair men. Yes, I want you to let your hair grow women. And you know, it is so funny. I'm throwing Clarice under the bus. She's walking through the house last night and she didn't have her little hair piece on. That's what Brother Branham called them, hair pieces. She didn't have it on. And I walked in the kitchen and she took her, And I told her, I told this was just this morning. So Michelle, that was hot off the press.
Yeah, it was.
I told her this morning, I said, Clarice, I said, we've been married 37 years. I said, you're the same girl I loved and married 37 years ago. And I said, it doesn't matter about your hair. It doesn't matter about any of that other stuff. You're the same girl that I loved and married. I said, you be comfortable around me. You be comfortable around the house. You don't try to do all that stuff. It's not necessary. Be yourself. This is just this morning. Be yourself. Quit trying to. You don't have to hide. That's like us. God knows us. Why are you trying to put on? If you're not a believer, God knows it. You ain't got to come here and put your dress on and go home and dress like the devil. You ain't got to come in here, man, come in here, you know, then go home and... God knows you. Be who you are. Be who you are at home. Be who you are here. Don't put on fronts. I told you, you don't have to put on nothing for me. You're the same when I'm married. She's been with me through the whole thing. So what kind of a man would I be
to look at my wife. And what kind of woman would she be? She'd look at me. Oh! I said, we're just aging. It happens. You get older, your hair fall out, your teeth fall out, you get a floppy belly. It's age. But what drew you together is not that body from 25 years ago. It's a love that you have for each other. And more so, the love for the truth.
Amen.
I'll stay you by your side because you love the truth.
Amen.
Everything, life comes and goes. But you get somebody that'll stand with you with the word. Because you try to get that little boy with the muscles, those muscles are going to flop under his arm. That chest is going to drop to his stomach. That girl with that nice curve, one baby, she's done. Then you get older. And you better have something to keep you together. That's why people get divorced at 25, 30 years, 40 years. They lose a common ground between each other. But if you are serving God and you got a spouse that's serving God with you, you should thank God with everything in you and hold on to that spouse no matter what it looks like. Got people in the message that say, oh, the sisters are cutting their hair. Number one, it's none of your business. And you don't know what she's going through. You don't know. I don't have time for none of that stuff. I'm looking to see if you love the word. I'm looking to see if when I say the word of God, you say amen. And I leave the rest of it to God. Because that's between you and God. That virtue is going to come out of you because the word I'm preaching is going to go in you.
Amen.
Some people try to get some virtue out of us that I ain't got. It's like, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I can't do that. Some sister's hair won't grow no matter how much you tell her to let it. What are you going to do with her now? You going to blame her because her hair is falling out? She can't go to heaven because she now don't have long hair? Come on, people.
Please.
I think sometimes we're so dogmatic about everything. Don't even know what the truth is or how to balance it.
Amen.
We don't. And I'm talking message people. I ain't talking Pentecost. I'm talking about message people.
Amen.
They're critical in everything. And then when you're sitting up there eating the word of God, Brother Kobe, they act like it does nothing. That's the greatest thing you can do is eat the word of God.
Yeah.
I don't care what it looks like.
Right.
The children of fiery furnace, they were going to judgment. They were going to the furnace. It looked like they were bad. It looked like they were out, but they were following the word of God.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Church is built on that.
Right.
Christ's a mystery. You got to read it, you know? You know, this is one of my favorites. Now, remember what he said about the virtues in 62? Listen to what he said in Christ the Mystery in 63 after the opening of the seals. The new birth is Christ. Is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's the new birth. That's so much simpler than those seven virtues. Get these seven virtues, then God sees you doing all seven, and then he gives you and seals you in. That ain't what he's saying in 63. The new birth is a revelation. God's revealed to you this great mystery. And that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? When you get all that group together where the revelation, not the virtues, not the love, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony.
Amen.
Oh, we may not dress alike.
We may not sing alike. We may not even sing in harmony. But we have the perfect harmony when it comes by the revelation of the word. When you hear the word, the whole church says, amen. That's the harmony I'm listening for. When the preacher says something, your church says, amen. That's the harmony I'm looking for. What are you going to do when you get this group of people together in perfect harmony? And God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things he did, making his word manifest. It's right there in front of our eyes. What you saw Jesus do in one man, now you've seen it happen all over the Bible. Same actions, same things he did, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. Now, this is a lot different than what he said in 62. Oh, get this, get this, get this. And when you get here, God sees you doing all these seven virtues, then he'll seal you with the Holy Ghost. That ain't what he said.
No.
If the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. All God's requiring for us now is to know what it is. Just when the word comes forth, you're eating it. Word comes forth, I believe that. I believe that. We're sitting here so ready for the rapture. I ain't seen us any more ready for the rapture than we are right now.
Amen.
And looking forward to it. Talking about it. Expecting it.
Yes.
Amen. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, the Word, remember? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me now. I've eaten the word, and the word has made me who I am. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. Word made me a preacher. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. Word made me a pastor. I didn't know I was going to be a husband. Word made me a husband. I didn't even want to be a brother. The word made me a brother. I wouldn't come into church at all. The word brought me here. And each one of us knows where we come from and how the word has had an effect on you. If the word has not had an effect on you, you must be born again. Simple as that. You say, you're trying to force us to make. I'm just saying, eat the word. Because I know what happened if you are what you eat. If you eat the word, you become the word. The manifested word. When God has given you the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is the token in 63, then the life of Jesus Christ is within you. Now see, that's different than before. Now I'm saying when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the life is in you. Now that's true. And every theologian who has to admit to that to be. Yes, sir, it's the new birth. You are born anew of the Holy Ghost. And become that, and because that God has done this, you know that you're no good in yourself, and you accept what God has done, then he seals you into that kingdom by the Holy Spirit. And everything that Jesus purchased and promised in the Bible is yours. It's your property because he paid for it. Amen. Life is mine. He paid for it. Life is yours. He paid for it. Healing is mine. He paid for it. Healing is yours. He paid for it. Freedom is mine. He paid for it. Heaven is mine. He paid for it. He's paid the price. Everything he's purchased belongs to the man that holds the token. That's after the new birth. When you're born again, whatever you need, you have it available for you. You don't have to strive to get nothing. You don't have to push to try to make yourself nothing. Everybody's trying to make you a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I'm made. I'm a Christian because I am. It's just because I'm born into this kingdom. I wasn't married into this kingdom by some adoption of some other person's kid. I belong to God. I come from God. I'm going to God. God owns me. And now my life is his.
And whatever he wants, I want. Wherever he wants me to work, I'll work. Yeah, y'all know. Y'all looking at it now. When God tells me to work, I work.
Amen.
When God tells me to stop, I stop. I don't care if it looks crazy to everybody.
That's
the way you live your life.
Amen.
Don't worry about, oh, all right, I got to save this. I got to do this. I got to keep this. You're God's. He feeds the sparrow. He'll take care of you. You just walk as God leads you. I'm telling you, deciding to retire from this job happened at 6 o'clock one Thursday morning, just like that. God said, boom, 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 and he put so many things in place, I just laid there and like, the only thing I said to myself is, I need to go talk to HR. I didn't fight him over it. I didn't try to make more sense of it. I didn't try to convince him, Lord, I got a better way. No, his way's my way. When God says move, I move. When God tells you to move, you move. We move by the Holy Spirit. We move by the Word of God. We know the rapture's coming because the Word of God's got us here to do that. And it'll happen because it'll be time.
Amen.
Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can't grieve him. Whereby ye are sealed until the day of your redemption.
Right.
Brother Branham said that sealing takes you to your destination. Brother Brennan said in the seven church ages, not only can we speak thus of the messengers, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They are all drawn from the same source. They have all been dipped in the same bowl. They are dead to themselves, and their lives are hid in Christ in God. Hid with Christ in God. They are sealed by the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4 and 30. No man can pluck them out of his hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light and manifesting of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hid in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Neither, not even death can touch them. For death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be to God, they have the victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, Christ the Mystery, my favorite book. I want to order some more of those. Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing, see? What God is trying to do. He's expressing himself out through you. What is a new birth then? We asked that question in 62, and we got one answer. We asked that question in 63, and got a different answer. What is a new birth then, you say? Well, Brother Branham, what is a new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, not shook a hand, you done something different. See, he took all those works out. Not you done something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word that's revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. That his definition of a new birth changed. But I hear coming out of our mouths the same old 6 and 7. Come and give your heart. Take this step. Move up closer. Come and move this and move that. I told them last Saturday, just where you're sitting. Just believe the word. If you can receive what I'm saying, that's what it said. If you can receive what I'm saying right now, that is the Holy Ghost to you. It's that simple. It's that simple. Don't have to give a code of rules. Don't have to promise to do a thing. Because when you hear the word, you will repent. And when you repent, you will be baptized. And when you get baptized, the Holy Ghost will receive it. He will come. He will deal with you. He will deal with you. You say, well, you got to do those steps before you get it. Uh-huh. No, talk to Cornelius' family. When I went down there, they received the Holy Ghost before they would baptize. Because he asked them, hey, shouldn't these be baptized like the rest of us? They received the word. The proof of it is that they received the word.
There you go.
One coming of the Spirit.
Yeah.
He that believeth, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. There you go. There you go. Receive the word.
Amen.
Don't come and promise me a bunch of stuff that you're not going to keep. Get the word in there, and the word will quicken what it wants you to keep. Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Some preachers, when they get finished preaching, I'm condemned. If I let it. They leave you feeling like you need something. And I don't need nothing. I got everything there right now. But I want to be able to recognize that once he moves in, he moves in. It's a done deal. Once you receive the word, you and the word become one. You don't have to get nothing else, can't add to it. Don't put nothing on it. You just keep eating the word. And a proof of who you are is that you'll keep eating the word. Brother Branham said the bride will turn quickly to the word. Every time the word comes forth, you'll say amen to it.
Amen.
You have to, because it's you. That is the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what if I believe part of the word and I don't believe the rest of it? Then you never had it to begin with. He's not going to pregnant you, then not pregnant you, then pregnant you. When he moves in, he's locked out. You're sealed until the day of your redemption. He's going to go all the way with you. If you're real to start with, he'll go all the way with you. If you're playing games, it will show. He knows. He knows. He ain't going to give you no Holy Ghost when you're not one of his. Because he knows who belongs to him. And if you're his, he's going to follow you around to the time that you're supposed to get it, and then he's going to give it to you. That's the way this works. People got it all mixed up on how you even receive God. You receive God because God comes and gets you. You came from him, and he come looking just like he looked for Adam. Oh, you think God didn't know where Adam was in the garden? Adam, he's playing hide and seek. Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where Adam was. God could have appeared right where Adam was hiding behind that tree. But he just made him feel like he didn't know. He makes you feel like you're doing something, but you're not really doing nothing. You're giving to him, but you're giving to him because he's already given to you.
Amen.
I love him because he first loved me. And when he came inside of me, he sealed Satan out.
Amen.
And when he sealed Satan out, I don't need nothing else.
No.
This card is ready. It's sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Amen.
All that he called, he justified. All that he justified, he glorified.
Right.
It's already done.
Yes.
It's a finished work.
You made it.
I've already made it. One coming of the Spirit. When he comes to you, you will be born again. And it'll happen just like that.
Amen.
Your justification, sanctification, and baptism will happen just like that.
Amen.
It's a package deal. The call comes when he comes. When he comes, he brings it all. It's just like the rapture, the resurrection. We're waiting for the theophanies to come back to the earth and the earth to get the theophany. And we get caught up in the terminology. But it'll happen just like that.
Amen.
Bible said it'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It'll happen so fast you don't even know what happened. Your old nature died so fast it didn't even know it hit him. All you knew is you didn't know, now you know.
Amen.
That's what that one coming held. It held everything. That one coming of the Spirit held my living, my good living, my life, things I'm going to pick up, things I'm going to drop, my body change, all of it.
Amen.
All of it. Come in that one coming of the Spirit.
And when you try to slow it down, break it up, you got to come here, you got to get saved, then you got to come and clean your life up, and you got to get these seven virtues. And once you get these seven virtues, then when God brings the Holy Ghost down, see how complicated that is? Who can do that? And that's why God come to Brother Branham and said, enough. It's not that hard. Everything changed. He moves everything around. It becomes his house. It becomes his spirit. It becomes his soul. But you can still let, I can let anybody in my house. I can let the saints of God in, or I can let the devil in. I can let anybody want in my house. Same way with God's people, to whom you yield your members to. How do you want your Christian walk to be? That's what comes. See, after your new birth, that's the question. How do I want my Christian walk to be? Do I want to be more like Christ? Your soul says yes. But then that's where dying daily comes in. And that's where those seven virtues come in. They come in because you let them rule in your life. Not because they got to do it. No, they'll do it because they're just in me. God is not a dirty spirit. It's the spirit of God. He is his spirit. It's a Holy Spirit. And he comes in and he takes your life and he makes it into what he wants it to be. What is it going to be? I don't know. We're individuals. It's God in each one of us. Going to work, going to the store, going to school. We're all over the place. But we're exactly what God wants us to be, because he needs you to be exactly who you are to touch those that he wants you to touch. Okay, one more quote, and this is a powerful one. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Good question. Brother Branham said, if it's the word and God said so, the spirit in you will cope with the word every time.
Amen.
Because genuine Holy Spirit will cope with the word, because the word is life and spirit. Jesus said, my word are life. And if you've got eternal life, listen close, and he is the word, how can the word deny the word? See? What kind of a person would you make God? That's one thing to know. That's one thing to know, that you're a Christian, when you can fully agree upon every word of God.
Amen.
That's how you know you're a Christian.
Right.
Not the seven virtues, not love, not this, not that, but you agree with every word of God.
Amen.
That's how I know that you're Christians.
Amen.
That's how I know you're believers. You sit out there like this. I know you're not a believer. But if you can receive and believe every word of God, that's how you know that you have the Holy Ghost. Some of you sit for a long time having the Holy Ghost and not even knowing it. Believing with every word, but you're trying to do the seven virtues. Trying to march up this side of the pyramid and down the other. You get two or three steps, some of you slip down and then you go back down again. Oh man, I got patience and I got brotherly kindness, but when it came up to knowledge, I didn't know the message. Oh, I'm back down again. Oh, I got knowledge, I got patience, but that brother did me wrong. So I messed up my brotherly kindness, back down again. That's what people do.
Absolutely.
But once you're sealed until the day of your redemption.
Amen.
I don't care if you're ever good. I don't care if you have a brotherly kindness. I don't care if you ever see all of those virtues working out of you. They will come out automatically, but it won't be in the order that you expect. It's going to come out in God's time and in God's order.
Amen.
One coming of the Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Childers raised me on that.
Yes.
Got my mind off of those signs and wonders and all those things that I was thinking was evidences of the Holy Ghost. Get it back to, can you believe the word? Can you believe the word? If I'm going to deal with you, I'm going to ask you one thing. Can you believe the word? That old man that went to Brother Brown said, I need to have a checkup. I said, I'll give you the word test. Test him out. He believed it. He said, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. And Brother Brown said, you're just fine. You're okay. Yeah, healthy as a 90-something-year-old man.
If you can believe the word that I'm bringing forth this morning, you are ready for the journey. You're ready. The Spirit, the one coming has already happened to you. And you and Christ's word has become one. Now, I would encourage you to be a good Christian. I would encourage you to clean your life up. I'd encourage you to be a good example. I would love for you to have all seven virtues working, because if you do, I'll get along with you well. But if you choose, is what the Bible says, to do these things, you'll be prosperous. But if I don't choose to do those things, I won't be prosperous, and I will reap what I sow. But it doesn't mean I'm not a believer, because the one coming of the Spirit has already happened to me. And I believe the report. I believe the word. I believe the word when I can't even match it. Amen. That's how bad I am. I believe it when God will say something like, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, I believe it. I'm working on it. I'm doing my best. You know, it's like we come back from South Carolina and Don was like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. I said, Don, I don't care what we do. We ain't going to sound like South Carolina. We'll take our best shot and we'll do what we do. But it ain't gonna be South Carolina. But that's them. That's their part. That's their. They blessed the socks off us, and we blessed the socks off them. That's the body edifying the body. But trying to make South Carolina and Ohio, it ain't gonna happen. Trying to make Ohio and South Carolina, it ain't gonna happen. They're who they are. We're who they are. It's just the way it is. But see, the thing is, we need to allow people to be who God makes them.
That's right.
We're so busy trying to get these virtues in them and trying to put virtues in them. Quit trying to put virtues in me. Whatever virtues I'm going to have is going to come out of me.
Amen.
And it's going to happen in His time.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right. Thank you, Lord.
Everybody in this church don't have patience.
Come on.
Just saying.
Well,
keep working on it. But it doesn't mean you're not born again.
Right.
Now that you see the difference between what Brother Branham taught in 62 and what the real truth on what the new birth is after the angel come to him, it shouldn't be so hard for us to love one another.
Right.
It shouldn't be so hard for us to have patience with one another, because we need to have patience. You got to have patience with one another, because if you don't, you're going to judge your brother, your sister. You're going to try to make them be something that they're not. And God is not going to be happy with you. He's going to be rebuking you because you don't have brotherly kindness. And you're just trying to take advantage of your brother. Or you're trying to, you know, you're just killing each other.
Right.
We're in this message of killing each other.
Right.
Churches fighting against churches. Preachers against preachers. Everybody's got their pet doctrines. And this one says this and this one says that. And if you don't believe this, then you'll die in your sins. And if you don't believe me, you can't go. And I'm not going to fellowship with you. And you're not going to fellowship with that church. Oh, you're going to that church? I'm cutting you off. That's real brotherly kindness. So if we use those seven virtues to judge the people in this message, we'd be in trouble. We better find something. We better find something to judge people by. And it's the Word of God.
Amen.
If you believe the Word of God, you're my brother.
Amen.
You're my sister. We used to always try to get people to believe and see exactly what we see. If you don't see this doctrine, then you're not going. Oh, we fought. I was there. I was in it. Trying to get them. You're going to see this or you're going to die. And kind of find out. They love the word.
Amen.
You can't even expect them to hear and believe the word if God didn't quicken it to them.
That's
right.
That's right.
So why, Brother Brunson, why are you going to beat a blind man?
Right.
Why are you going to dog some? Help somebody where they're at.
Yeah.
You know, help them where they're at. You see a blind man standing on the corner? Help him cross the street.
Amen.
You don't have to go home with him. Just help him cross the street.
Right.
Don't go push him out there. You should be able to see. No.
Amen.
I always say, if I can't help you, I don't want to hurt you. I want to do something to edify the body. I want to move you forward, make you feel like you got a little hope. I don't want to make you feel like this is the end of the thing. No. Where there's breath, there's hope. And if I can still believe and I can still hear, then I can take another step forward. And God will go with me because I believe His word. The one coming of the Spirit has happened. He's already living in here. Now my life will reflect His word. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, so thankful for how you've blessed us in so many ways, and thank you for that one coming and how you settled it in our hearts and lives, and now we know what a believer is. That's somebody that can receive every word. And Lord, maybe my life don't match what somebody else's life is. Thank God for their life. And help me to press towards the mark, because that's my heart's desire. But I'm not going to let that hinder me and make me feel like I'm not one of them. I'm so glad that I could say I'm one of them. You've blessed us. You've been so good to us to give us a revelation and open up our eyes that we could see this thing clearly. We're not unbalanced at all in our lives, and we see clearly how this affects and how it works. And Lord, we ask you to continue to help us to step forward. Thank you for our prophet who came and was an honest man who, when he was wrong, he said he was wrong, and he let us know so that we can make that turn as well. And Lord, as he made the turn, so shall we make the turn. And we'll continue to walk together in this light. Thank you for all you've done. Be with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Beautiful. 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 Beautiful.
And it's good to be able to see this, because when you can see that, it'll take all of that worry, stress and strain out. Jay, I think I messed your book up. I was going to sing one of them. I was trying to find it. 151? Yes, thank you. I got your book tore up, Jay. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I may not be a lot of things to a lot of people, but I am that son of God that he's looking for in this hour. Now come back tonight, Bible study at 7, and we'll see what the Lord has in mind for the night. Amen. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fills and finishes up and cleansed and made them clean. It is burning. I'm so glad I can be one of them. I'm one of them. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.